In this week's episode, I am speaking with Richard Eisenberg, who is the former managing editor of With Next Avenue. Richard unretired in January of this year, and we will be discussing what it means to unretire. Cue the music.
Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast, brought to you by Career Pivot. This podcast is where those of us in the second half of life come together to discuss how to repurpose our careers for the 21st century. Come listen to career experts give you proven strategies. Listen to people like you tell their stories on how they repurpose their careers. And finally, get your questions answered. Your host, Mark Miller, has made six career pivots over the last 30 years. He understands this is not about jumping out of the frying pan into a fire, but rather to create a plan where you make clear, actionable steps or pivots to a better future career. Are you ready to repurpose your career?
Welcome to episode 276 of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. My name is Mark Miller, and I'll be your host every Monday for a discussion on what it's like to repurpose your career. In this week's episode, I'm speaking with Richard Eisenberg, who is the former managing editor with Next Avenue. Richard unretired in January of this year, and we'll be discussing what it means to unretire. I listened to Richard on the Big Middle podcast a few weeks ago and was taken by how well Richard had planned out his unretirement. I should have known this is something he would have done because he's been writing this topic for years for Money Magazine before later taking on his role as managing editor and Money and Work Channels editor for Next Avenue. In this episode, I want you to hear his journey into unretirement. However, before we get to the episode, let's have a word from our sponsor, Career Pivot. The Career Pivot membership community continues to help the members who are participating in this project grow and thrive. This is a community where everyone is there to help everyone else out, figure out what they want to do in the second half of life, and then make it happen. Let's hear what Charles had to say about being part of the community.
Well, when I joined the community, I had experienced a lot of success in my career as a health researcher, but I had a calling that I should apply those skills in another way. And I didn't know how to do that. And I felt really uncomfortable with that feeling of uncertainty of where I should be going next. So through the community, I learned a lot of skills on how to advance and grow my knowledge in a way that allowed me to transition from a really technical area of health research to health policy. And through that process, I established a new network of colleagues to get me there. And it's allowed me now to work in an area that I again find I've got my mission back, and I'm excited to get up in the morning to go in and do something important.
I'm recruiting new members for the next cohort. If you are interested in learning more about the endeavor, please go to careerpivot.com/community. Now, on to my discussion with Richard Eisenberg. Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast. I have the real joy of having my good friend, Richard Eisenberg, on the podcast. And Richard was the managing editor of nextavenue.org, but he unretired this year. So welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Mark. It's great to be back with you.
Tell me, what does it mean to unretire?
Well, I'll tell you what it means for me, but it's different for everybody who does it. And some people call it semi-retirement. For me, what it meant was not having one full-time job where I knew I was going to be working from 8 a.m. till 6 or 6:30 every day. And, you know, I loved what I did at Next Avenue. I was the managing editor for the website. I was the editor of the Money and the Work channels. I wrote for the site. I liked all of it, but I'd been there 10 years and I just felt like it was time. I turned 65. I thought it was time for me to step away, let somebody else have a chance and figure out how they would do what I was doing. and do some things that I didn't have the time to do. I couldn't do because I was working full time at one job. So the way I'm seeing my life now, it's I'm working part time as a writer and an editor, and we can talk about where I'm doing that in a new column that I've started to write. But I now have time to do some volunteering and some mentoring that either I didn't have time to do or I thought I didn't have time to do. And a little time for traveling when that's possible, and a little time to relax and spend time with my wife and our dog and read more than I had a chance to do before. So for me, it's mostly just sort of doing what makes me happy and trying new things and getting away from the grind of day-to-day full-time work.
Do you need to work or you want to work?
I'd say more want, but still some need. I mean, I think all of us, no matter how much we've saved for the future and how much we'll get from Social Security and 401ks and pensions, we all worry whether we're going to run out of money. We don't know how long we'll live. We don't know how healthy we'll be, whether we'll need long-term care. So I feel like, you know, all of us more or less feel like it would be helpful to have some income coming in besides Social Security. And I'm lucky enough that I qualify for two pensions at companies that I worked at over the years. And I've put a lot into 401ks over the years. So I feel like I've done a lot of good things, and I was lucky in some things that are going to come to me. But I also felt like having some income now would be useful just to pay the bills. I live in New Jersey. Our house is paid off, but the property taxes are very high. We have Medicare, we have life insurance, we have gasoline, the cars, we don't have any car loans, but you know, we've got expenses. And we have two sons who live in California who we like to see whenever we can. That costs money to travel out there. So having a little extra money coming in is nice for me to have. I'm glad to have it. But mostly I'm doing the work I want to do because I enjoy doing it. And I'm turning down some things where people have come to me and said, would you do this? And I've decided no for some of those things. But in many cases, I'm saying yes. And some things I've actively sought them.
Richard and I are about the same age because we both graduated from Northwestern the same year.
That's right.
We didn't know each other.
Yeah, you were North Campus. I was South Campus.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So how much did Medicare eligibility factor into your timing?
Well, it was part of the timing in that I knew that I didn't need to worry about where I was going to get health insurance from because I knew there would be Medicare. Now, I knew it wasn't free. I knew it didn't cover everything. My wife is about my age. She retired from her job. She was an editor of People magazine, and she retired there a few years ago. So we both needed insurance, and knowing that we were going to be on Medicare helped me make the decision to retire when I did. You know, had I done this a year or two earlier, it would have meant having to shop on the marketplace to find a policy. And we could have gotten one, but I felt like it was sort of simpler to wait until I turned 65.
Yeah, there's no question. One of the big concerns as you get over 60, so one reason I live in Mexico, was we moved down here when we were in our late 50s and we were getting killed by health insurance.
Yeah.
You know, the cost was just extraordinary.
Yeah.
How did you plan this out? Obviously, you had some ideas of what you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Before you pulled the trigger, what things did you kind of put in place?
Well, I'm going to start with the long-term putting in place, and then I'll talk about the short-term putting in place. So the long-term was I started putting money into a 401k as soon as 401ks came out back in the early 80s when I worked at Money Magazine. And so I've been consistently putting money aside for the future in a 401k. And my wife did the same thing when she worked at People Magazine. And before that, she worked at USA Today and a few other places. So you know, that's the foundation. Beyond that, I would say we're pretty frugal. I wouldn't say that we're cheap or live below our means, but I've never thought it was made any sense to have expensive cars. So we've always had, right now we have two Mazdas that are not new. We've had one of them since 2010. They're both paid off. We've paid off our mortgage for our house. So these are all some of the things that I've done over the 43-year career that I've had. So that was sort of putting things in place to have less worries when this time came. And then more specifically, more recently, you know, I was thinking as I was about to turn 65 and I knew I'd been an ex-navigator 10 years, that seemed like, for me, a good time to make the move. I've been fortunate that I've made a lot of good contacts over the years at various different media outlets. So I thought that if I wanted to write and edit, I would probably be able to do it part-time. I didn't know for sure. And when I approached my bosses at Next Avenue back in November and said, this is what I'm planning to do in January, I said, I would love to keep writing for you as a freelancer if you'll let me. And I hoped that they would. I thought they would, but I wasn't sure if they would because, you know, every employer is different. And they were nice enough to say yes. So that was a good base for part of what I was going to be doing all day some days, and some income coming in. And then the nice people at MarketWatch, an editor there, that's a website owned by Dow Jones. They've been very good to Next Avenue over the years. They've republished a lot of our pieces because they like what we've done at Next Avenue. And the editor of the retirement channel there came to me and said, hey, you know, I see that you're retiring from Next Avenue. Would you like to write a column for MarketWatch about that? And I thought about it a bit. And I thought, well, that sounded interesting if I could write about unretirement. And so that's what I've been doing every 2 weeks. I'm writing a column about what it's like, what I'm learning, the mistakes that I'm making, advice for other people who may be thinking about doing it or who are doing it. Some of it is personal. Some of it is based on interviews that I do and studies that I'm seeing and that sort of thing. So, you know, I feel like those were the things that I put in place so that when January 6th came, I would feel like I was ready for the next stage. Now, what I didn't quite know, and I still don't quite know, is how I was going to spend my days and how much time I would want to spend working and could, and how much time I would spend volunteering or not doing anything or traveling. And that's the part that's sort of challenging that I'm trying to figure out day by day, how busy to be, what my schedule should look like, that sort of thing. But now my wife will probably say to you that she doesn't think I'm retired at all. And I've heard people say they think I'm writing more than I ever did. And I don't think that's true, but I am keeping busy because I'm not retired from life. I'm just retired from my old job.
Yeah. And you are about to start some program on a digital media.
Yeah. So, NYU has this really interesting program every summer called the Summer Publishing Institute for recent college grads and rising seniors. And, you know, they've had to do it differently during the pandemic, but they're doing it now more or less the way they used to do it, which is 2 weeks of intensive education about the world of digital media. In the old days, this would have been called the magazine program, but we don't use that word much anymore. And then there's 2 weeks about books. And so I'm in charge of the digital media part of it. And so what that has meant was in April and May and early June, I was lining up speakers and workshops and panelists so that we would have things to teach the students all day, every day for 2 weeks. And then it starts on Monday full-time for me, every day for a little over 2 weeks, where I'll be going into New York City every day and being in charge of all the panels and grading papers and meeting with students and that sort of thing. And then when June 27th happens, it'll go away. It'll be like the pumpkin the stagecoach turns into a pumpkin for me. It'll be over. But yeah, I've really enjoyed it. And, you know, we'll see whether I'll do something like it again. But so far, I've really, really been happy to be able to participate. And I feel like it's a way that I'm giving back and mentoring a little bit to students about what I've learned over the years. And I've lined up some people that I know, a lot of people I didn't know. I'm encouraging people to go into journalism. I think the world needs more journalists, but it's a tough field right now. And so I feel like anything we can do to help students understand what they're in for and how to make it is helpful.
Yeah. So is that a paid gig?
It is actually. Now it's a paying gig as an adjunct professor is a paying gig, which is to say you get some money, but not a lot. You're not paid what a faculty member is, but it's not a full-time job either. But it is, you know, nice supplemental income that I hadn't expected. And so that was a sort of gravy.
Well, and I also imagine this was probably a great networking opportunity.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I've met a lot of people who work in digital media who I didn't know before, who I do now. I reconnected with people I have known over the years, some who are going to be speaking. And who knows, in the future, you know, how I'll be able to use these people, if at all, but I feel like it's possible. I think it's always good to broaden your network of contacts in your field if you can.
When I saw, I forget where I read in one of your columns that you were doing this, and I went, wow, that gets you to meet people. It gives you an opportunity. You're helping people who can help you later.
Maybe.
Right. Yeah. And in those kinds of events are incredibly powerful networking, venues that, just kind of, and like you said, you have no idea what will come of it.
Yeah. But I would have to say I'm really doing it more for the students than I am doing it for me. I mean, the fact that I'm networking is nice and the fact that I'm getting income is great, but I'm really doing it because I want to use the free time I had to be helpful to young people getting into this world. I could not have done this job at NYU if I had my job at Next Avenue because there aren't enough hours in the day.
Yep. So the and on the paying piece, when you're for Next Avenue and for MarketWatch. Are you paid per piece?
Yes.
How does that work? Do they give you the topics? Do you pick the topics?
It's almost always me picking the topics and basically pitching ideas to my editors at both places and say, this is something I'd like to write about and when I'd like to do it. And usually they say yes. Occasionally they'll say no, or we've done something like that, or not quite now. And every now and then they'll come to me and say, will you write about X? So for example, at MarketWatch, they do every so often a big special section that they call Best New Ideas in Retirement. And they asked me if I would do a piece for that about older workers working in retirement, like I'm doing, but mostly because the tight labor market has led some employers to be more interested and willing to talk to older workers, some who work for them now and some who don't, about working part-time in retirement in a way that they would not have done 3 years ago. And so that came to me, but most of the pieces I'm writing about are things that I've chosen to want to write about. And the payment is, with both places, we worked out an arrangement going in that said, every time I write a piece, I'll get paid X dollars for the piece and it's gonna be this long and I'll turn it in at this date. And so that's how that works. But when you're freelancing, every place does it a little bit differently, and some have standard fees for everybody. Some do it case by case. There's still some places that won't pay at all. I think that's wrong, and I don't do that unless it's for a nonprofit or something where I feel like there's a reason for that. But otherwise, I feel like if it's a genuine media organization, they ought to be paying anybody who's writing for them.
You're what, 6 months into this?
Yep, I started January 6th, and now it's June. 11th? So yeah, just over 6 months.
How have things happened differently than you expected?
Well, the NYU job came as a surprise. And I'll tell you a little secret about that. I applied for that job just before I left Next Avenue, but when I knew I would be available, and I didn't get it. And I thought, well, that's too bad. And so I just sort of moved on. And then I got a call in April saying the person who had that job no longer can do it. Could I step in? And so I said yes. So that came as a surprise because I had thought it wasn't going to happen, and now it did. The other surprise, I guess, is just sort of people coming to me saying, we would like you to write for us, or we'd like you to edit this or work with me on a book and that sort of thing that I didn't expect. And some of those I've said yes to, and some of them I've said no to. So one surprise there is, this has really been the first time in my career that I can remember where I've ever been able to say no to something. Because in the past, if your boss says do something, you have to do it. Now, sometimes people will say, we'd like you to do this. And I'll say, thank you anyway, but I'm going to decline that. And often when I do, I'll give them the name of somebody I think they should try who might want to do it or could do it. When I can do that, I try to be helpful.
It's interesting. We have a mastermind group on Thursday evenings, and Debbie Schnur, who was on this podcast about a month ago, she is a master gardener out in California. And one of the things we've discussed is when you start getting too busy, start rethinking about what brings you joy, and don't do those things that don't bring you joy.
Yeah.
And like you say, now you have choices. You can say no.
Yeah, that's it's an interesting part of life to be in where it's so new. Now, I would say I do try to find things that bring me joy, but I would say there are also going to be things that we all have to do that don't bring us joy. I have a colonoscopy coming up soon. But yeah, I agree with her. You know, when you can, in your retirement, make choices about what is going to bring you joy. And that can be learning something new. I've started to learn how to do voiceover work, and I may end up doing some of that in the future. It may be writing for places that I haven't written for before, about topics I haven't written for before. You know, mostly what I've written and edited about in my career has been personal finance or career work jobs, work stories. But I was approached by somebody who used to work with me when I was at Good Housekeeping, and now she was at a website called Shutterstock. And she said, well, we would love it if you would write a piece for us about the metaverse. And I didn't really know very much about that, but I thought, well, this is a great opportunity to learn. So I did that. And then somebody came to me from Narratively and said, well, Narratively, we have a partnership with Healthline, and we would love it if you would write a piece for us about ageism and do you really become invisible as you get older? And I thought, well, that sounded interesting. So I took those, and I hadn't expected to be doing either of those. And I'm glad I did.
I suspect you're going to get more and more offers as the year goes on. Mm. And you'll have more choices.
Yeah, I mean, well, you may be right. I don't know. If it happens, it happens, then I'll be happy about that. I will say right now, I am probably about as busy as I want to be with the writing that I'm doing and the volunteering that I'm doing and the mentoring. I've started to volunteer at a place near me on Saturdays and Sundays, so that takes up a good chunk of my weekend too. But yeah, I mean, if somebody were to come to me and say, would you want to write about this or edit this? I'm always interested in talking to people. There's a filmmaker who made this wonderful film about getting older and the wisdom of older people. And she's now thinking about doing a book about it. And she asked me if I might be interested in helping her on that. And I thought that sounded like a really great project to do. So I'm hoping that that'll turn into something.
So, Richard, if there was one piece of advice as someone approaches this period of decision-making, what would that be?
I would say to really think it through. I mean, really decide, is this what you want to be doing at the, and is this the right time for you to be doing it? And what do you think your life is going to look like when that starts? You won't know for sure, but the more you can sort of lay the groundwork for what you expect to happen, I think the happier you're going to be. Because I've talked to a lot of people over the years when I've written stories about retirement, and some people find retirement to be very depressing because they hadn't really thought about it at all. And now suddenly they have nothing to do all day long and they're bored and they get lonely and they get angry and they can't find meaning and purpose in their lives. And I feel like had they spent a little time thinking about it before, or even once they've been retired, but I'd say better in advance, the happier they'd be. And if you have a spouse or partner, absolutely talk this all through with that person before you take the plunge, because it's really important. It's going to be a big change for you, but also for them. And you want to be sure that what you're thinking about doing is going to make sense for the two of you. And you may want to make adjustments based on what your partner or spouse is going to be doing and how much work they're doing or where they want to live and that sort of thing. You know, one of the nice parts of the world that we're living in right now is the ability to work from anywhere in many types of work, not all kinds. But that allows people like me to do what I did in February, which was my wife and I spent the month of February in Los Angeles, where our two sons and their wives live. We don't get to see them very often. I brought my computer. I did a lot of writing from there and reporting from there. I don't think anybody reading what I wrote could tell that I wrote it in California versus New Jersey. It was pretty similar. But for me, it allowed me the ability to do it in a way that probably 5 years ago, I could never have done that.
Yeah, it's interesting. You really enjoyed what you did. Mm-hmm. So you have a kind of a path to walk forward. I've got one gentleman in my online community who retired and he didn't like what he was doing. Mm. So he ran away from it rather than running towards something. And yeah. and he's gone back and forth. He bought a franchise, sold the franchise. And it's a, you bring up a very good point of what do you want to do? Mm-hmm. And for people who don't like what they what they're doing, that's they're going, I don't know.
And I wrote a piece about this for Market Watch. My column was called The View from Unretirement. And I wrote one about the idea of in retirement, pursuing a passion. It could be something you did when you were a kid and you haven't done in years, or something you've wanted to do, but you just never got around to it. And I feel like a lot of people are finding great joy in doing that and returning to the love that they had or trying something they'd never done before. But I take your point. I think it's really important to think about what are you retiring to, not just what are you retiring from. And I think a lot of people don't think a lot about that because we don't have a lot of help. There are some people like you who are really great helps for people, but a lot of people don't know where to go to turn, who to turn to for advice.
Yep. So Richard, this was great. If someone wanted to reach out and contact you, how might they do that?
Well, let's see. I would say they could certainly email me. My email address is richardeisenberg@usa.net. That's RichardEisenberg. If they want to see what I'm writing, you can just go to Market Watch and Next Avenue and type in my name and you should quickly find the piece that I'm doing. I'm also still doing a podcast. I've been doing this for a few years now called Friends Talk Money. I do this with Pam Kruger and Terry Savage. And every couple of weeks we get together in, we've never been in the same room together. We do a podcast usually from three locations. I'm in New Jersey usually, and Pam's usually either in California or Cape Cod. And Terry's either in Chicago or Florida, but it sounds like we're in the same room because we've got a great producer who makes it sound great. And we're talking every couple of weeks about personal finance over 50 and what people should know about Medicare and investing and working and all that sort of thing. So you can find me on the Friends Talk Money podcast as well.
Yes, and I listen to it every time you come out with a new episode.
Thank you. Thank you.
So Richard, thank you very much for being on the Repurpose Your Career podcast.
Thank you, Mark.
Hope you enjoyed that episode. As I stated at the beginning, Richard thought and planned this transition for quite a while. Still, things are turning out differently than he had planned. Richard now has choices that he never really had in his first career. And that is really fulfilling in that he can work on what he wants to work on and what feeds his soul. Take a moment and go to careerpivot.com and sign up for the weekly Career Pivot Insights newsletter, which is sent out every Sunday. You'll get a weekly update on this podcast, white papers, and new blog posts. While there, do not forget to check out the Career Pivot community, which can be found at careerpivot.com/community. Feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. Look for Career Pivot on Facebook and LinkedIn. You'll also find me on Twitter at Career Pivot. Thank you for listening all the way to the end of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. You will find all the show notes at careerpivot.com/episode-276. You can also subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Podbeam, Overcast, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, and lots of other places where podcasts can be found. In fact, this podcast can be found on the Repurpose Your Career podcast channel on YouTube. Hope to see you next Monday for another episode of Repurpose Your Career podcast.